Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Riley Gaines joins us and Jordan Schachtel to talk about women's sports, Ukraine, and then we do a little riff on AOC at the end of the program. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. When I was young, 9, 10, 11 years old, there was one channel I would watch every morning. I would get up extra early before bed, especially on the weekends, and I would watch SportsCenter on ESPN. It used to be a great channel. Scott Van Pelt, Stuart Scott, may he rest in peace. They were funny, entertaining, engaging. They made sports appealing. It was a whole new way of looking at sports. It was not just the top 10, but the not top 10, which, by the way, if my memory serves me correctly, they got rid of the not top 10 because of Mark Sanchez's, or Sanchez, butt fumble that happened on thing. I think it was like 6 months of Mark Sanchez with the butt fumble, and they had to get rid of it. Maybe I'm misremembering. Anyway, I used to love ESPN. Their little commercials of this is SportsCenter. And like all beautiful things, the locusts, the parasites, the vermin, they took it over. The Wokies did. In a industry that should be outside of politics and outside of these kind of cultural trends, they've decided to lean in. And the most disgusting, one of the most disgusting chapters has just happened in the last couple of days. Joining us now is Riley Gaines, a former professional, not professional, former college athlete and swimmer who had to compete against Thomas, the man who was a cheater, and she should have probably won the national championship if it wasn't for the man. Riley, welcome to the program. Last time you were here, we made a lot of headlines, and so welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again, Charlie.
Of course. All right, I'm going to play this piece of tape for our audience. This is an ESPN little biopic, if you will, celebrating Women's History Month by showing a man, Thomas. Play cut 18.
In 2022, swimmer Leah Thomas became the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I championship by winning the 500 freestyle. The Texas native competed for 3 seasons on the men's swim team at the University of Pennsylvania. She began her transition after her sophomore season. She said she hopes her persistence serves a larger purpose.
People will say, oh, she just transitioned, so she would have an advantage, so she could win. I transitioned to be happy.
Why are the women at ESPN putting up with this? I don't know. Riley, your thoughts?
I have no idea why the women are putting up with this. I don't understand. It's like they don't see the irony of celebrating a man during Women's History Month. How are these women okay with it? And it begs the question, where are the feminists? Where are the women? Where is the group who wore the pink hats, who wanted to empower women, real women? I can't even answer that. I will say, though, that I just admire Sage Steele, who's an ESPN reporter. She does SportsCenter, I believe. And she stood up to this and she said, this is wild. This is wrong. She recognizes the differences between men and women and why it's unfair and harmful for women to have men in women's sports and in our locker rooms.
I want to read your tweet. You said, Leah Thomas is not a brave, courageous woman who earned a national title. He is an arrogant cheat, amen, who stole a national title from a hardworking, deserving woman. The NCAA is responsible. If I was a woman working at ESPN, I would walk out. You're spineless. Elaborate more.
Well, a lot of people, obviously, even ESPN, as we've seen, universities, large organizations, the media, they like to deem Thomas as a courageous, brave woman. How, one, is Leah Thomas courageous or brave? I think Leah Thomas is a coward.
Yes.
I think Leah is selfish and showed utter disregard towards women, towards our privacy, towards our safety, towards our feelings, our fairness, our opportunities. There was no regard for that. Yet they expect us to be kind to them and be respectful to them. To me, respect is something that's earned. Leah Thomas did not earn my respect by any means. And so I wanted to add the piece in there about the NCAA being responsible because, you know, and I do think Leah Thomas is selfish. I think Leah Thomas, like I mentioned, had no regard for us as female athletes. But it's not Thomas's fault. Thomas was following the guidelines that the NCAA put in place. And so I think it's crucial to acknowledge that the NCAA is at fault here. Leah Thomas was simply following the rules that allowed this to happen, which were 100% perpetrated by the NCAA. They forced us to participate in Leah Thomas's fetish, which included, it has now come out that Leah Thomas is an AGP, which means you are sexually aroused by dressing as a woman. And the NCAA put us in a locker room with someone who gets off on that. So the NCAA is responsible, and I wanted to put that point in there.
And ESPN is celebrating that. What constituency are they trying to pander to? It's really bizarre. And I mean, Disney is already, you know, letting off a lot of you know, employees right now. And so Riley, I'm wondering just kind of the response you're receiving, and what do your critics say? I'm very curious. Because this should be very simple and very elemental. I mean, you should have been a national champion in swimming, and a man comes in and steals it from you. He exposes himself to you in a locker room. He should have been arrested for that, right? For public indecent exposure. That we used to have a country that used to exist. Last time we had a dialogue, I said people would take care of it. That's exactly what I meant, is that you would be arrested for exposing yourself. If you just kind of walk into a woman's locker room and expose yourself, that used to be called a crime. Now it's called progress. But I'm curious, what is the response that you receive from people? What do your critics say?
Overwhelming amount of support. I'm talking about support from all over the political spectrum, which is what makes this topic, this issue, so interesting. Obviously, we know there are very few things in politics that people can agree on. But this is something, you know, denying man and woman. We can't even define what a woman is. These liberals who, of course, will die on this hill of being able to define a woman. They see what's at stake here. They see how they're trying to eradicate women at the systemic level. And so I have had an overwhelming amount of support from female athletes, from parents, from medical professionals, from coaches, people within the NCAA. There's so much support, which shows me that we are the overwhelming majority in this topic, which begs the question, okay, then why are we catering to the minority? Why are we sacrificing 51% of the population at the expense of 0.5% of the population? I don't know the exact statistic, but I can't imagine the trans community makes up more than 0.5% of the population. So why are we catering to this? And it's because that we thought this would be a one-off instance. But people are realizing it's not, and they see the propaganda being pushed, and they're becoming more bold, they're becoming louder, and they're starting to use their voices more. And I really truthfully believe that the tides are about to turn.
I sure hope so. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't see the backlash that you see, but you're kind of more in it than I am. And so it's very interesting. I want to explore this, and we have you for another topic. If you listen to Thomas, the narcissistic cheat's profile there on ESPN, he said, "I didn't do this to win. I did this to be happy." And that's really interesting. Because since when do we reaccommodate society for your own personal happiness? I'm sure a lot of people would be happier if they could go rob a bank, but it would be theft. It would be wrong. I'm sure some people would be happier if you could walk into women's locker rooms and be like a weird creep, but it would be wrong. But unfortunately, post-1960s liberalism and leftism and the postmodern construct is your individual happiness matters more than societal norms. Things that govern fairness, their idea of justice is their own individual quote-unquote pleasure or happiness. 30 seconds, Riley.
I think it's incredibly ironic that Thomas says that he does this for happiness, because playing a Division I sport, especially at the national level where you're competing for that top spot in the country, never once did swimming ask me if I was happy. You know, do you feel okay? Do you want to jump in the cold water at 4 a.m.? Playing a Division I sport is a privilege. It is not a right. It does not go to someone who just wants to do it to be happy. You have to work. You have to earn that spot. And Thomas did not.
No, cheated and stole. Stay right there, Riley. Riley, I want to talk about the other examples of men that are stealing championships right now. It's happening across the country, and our society is letting it happen. And our men, who have basically become feminized versions of an infant, just kind of sit and like, well, I guess that's unfair. So Riley, I really enjoy your Twitter feed because you update the world and me on how men are continually cheating and stealing championships from women. There was one recently, there was a track championship. Can you tell us about that? It was a state championship, I believe.
Yes, this was the state track and field championships in Massachusetts. I'm sure you saw the picture on my Twitter, which I wish I could show it on here. But
I'll get it. I'll do my best to get it. Keep going, though.
But this is a male who competed as a male and finished at the bottom every single time, who has now transitioned to a woman and helped his team win the state track and field championship. His name is Chloe Barnes. When he was doing an interview, and when the interviewer asked him, you know, what do you have to say about the people who are in opposition of you competing? Chloe says, just deal with it. Deal with it. Which is exactly why I consider Leah Thomas also a narcissist. These people want the world to stop for their own benefit and not thinking about anyone else's feelings, anyone else's safety, anyone else's fairness, their privacy, and definitely not the integrity of sports.
You look at psychology, women tend to be more agreeable and men tend to be disagreeable. So I look at these pictures of these young ladies that are taking pictures with these cheats afterwards. And it's just not up to, I mean, they just are less likely to say there's anything wrong with it. But honestly, what should have happened is the cheat should have just, you know, ran and everyone else should have just had their, just boycotted it, just sat down. Would have made nationwide headlines. Why is it that women are so... I mean, again, it's not a fair question. It just really bothers me because it's not as if angry women is anything we're new to, right? I mean, angry women come to my events all the time. They scream at conservatives. They scream at their husbands. They scream at Donald Trump. Why are women not angry at men stealing their championships?
It's virtue signaling. These people, they want to be seen as kind. They want to be seen as inclusive. They want to be seen as welcoming and accepting and tolerant and all of those things, but they just haven't realized yet it is not kind to allow a man into a woman's space. It is not kind for me, a 22-year-old, to turn around and see another 22-year-old drop his pants, fully exposed with male genitalia, watching other women undress. That is not kind. That is not inclusive. It's actually exclusive. It's exclusive to the very people that the women's sporting category was created to protect. And I think it's just a matter of time before people realize that. And like I said, I believe more and more people are. But no one wants to ruffle feathers. No one wants to step on toes. But you're exactly right. That's how changes are going to be made. Of course, a legislature is an amazing way to start. These different states that are passing these bills, that's fantastic. But the easiest way to make impact is to not race, not run, not get on that starting block. But that's a big ask, and I understand that. But we have to be willing to make sacrifices.
Yeah, I mean, it's sacrifices, but it's also just, why would you want to participate against a cheater? And so is the NCAA, are they just continuing in this direction where men can basically steal championships from women? Is that the new position of the NCAA?
Yeah, that is. That's exactly what's happening. The NCAA claims there are only 34 trans athletes in the NCAA, but that could not be further from the truth. There are so many athletes. I actually just watched a diving championship, a conference championship, where a male was diving against all women. I know of about 10 lacrosse men who are playing on the women's team off the top of my head. But the NCAA, they're essentially in a phasing out approach. What they want is they want no accountability. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to be the ones responsible for anything. So what they're trying to do is phase out and leave it up to sport-specific organizations like World Athletics, who has just now said that If you've gone through puberty as a male, you will not compete with the women. So they're looking to phase out the NCAAs.
It's remarkable to me, and it's happening all around us. Here's cut 16. Here's Holly Holm, who is a woman UFC fighter. Play cut 16.
Something has been on my heart, and I feel like I have the platform to say it. I need to say it. I just feel it's really sad, all the sexualization of our children right now, and we need to protect them, whatever that may be. Like, protect the children, please. Do anything we can to help.
At least she's speaking out. Riley, closing thoughts. You're also speaking at a Turning Point USA chapter event, aren't you, sometime soon?
I am. Tonight, I'm actually in Pittsburgh right now, sitting on the street, which is why my camera is a little shaky. But there's a lot of media generated around this event. Of course, Dylan Mulvaney was just at Pittsburgh, where he was paid $26,000 to be here with no protests. I'm speaking here, and I'm called a domestic terrorist and a fascist.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Maybe we should start protesting them, obviously peacefully, but we should call Dylan Mulvaney a creepy dude who is appropriating womanhood. I mean, I don't know. We got to change our tactics. Stay peaceful, of course, but these people are robbing our society. Riley, God bless you. If you're back 100%. Thank you. I want to tell you guys about my friends Andrew and Todd. I've actually been working with Todd on a project here, something that we're trying to get done, and he's so responsive. He's so amazing. Everybody I refer to Andrew and Todd for mortgage needs, they are overwhelmingly happy. Look, dealing with most banks is a total pain. I can tell you from experience, I am not a fan when you have to fill out all those mortgage documents. It is a pain. Andrew and Todd make it personal, fun. They love the Lord. They're patriots. They're lighthearted. They're whimsical. I really enjoy working with them. And I can say from personal experience, I have gone through the process with them and they are fabulous. So look, if you're knowing somebody to relocate, upsize, downsize your current home, and look, it might almost be a buyer's market. Yes, I know interest rates are high. You could refinance in the future. But look at some of these prices. You could get a bargain. For those of you that are the Zillow hunters out there that are constantly saving things in your Zillow profile, I'm not telling you to buy, but I'm seeing a 20% price reduction in certain neighborhoods, 15% price reduction, 10% price reduction. It might get to the place where all of a sudden you're like, hey, I got to move my family into a home. We got to stop renting. We want to own. I know interest rates are high, but you can always refinance. And in fact, ask Andrew and Todd about trying to avoid a prepayment penalty, which means there's no downside, except that you might have a high interest rate for a short period of time. But that's not an excuse not to get into the market as prices are falling. If it's right for you, and if you're doing something else, by the way, if you're relocating, upsizing, downsizing, taking equity out of your home, they have the answers. You go to andrewandtodd.com. They're your loan problem solvers and solution providers with decades of experience to know how to create the perfect plan for you. And I'll be very honest. I once did a mortgage with one of the big, bad, woke banks. I'm never doing that again. Stop doing mortgage business with people who hate you. I went through that whole thing. It's a disaster. It's a catastrophe. I don't like it. I know you don't either. So if you have any mortgage needs, make a promise to yourself that you're going to use a mortgage company with somebody who sees the world the way you do. They share your values. They have a worldview that is consistent. They love America. They're not woke. They don't believe any of that crap. So go to andrewandtodd.com and fill out the quick form. Call them at 888-888-1172. That's andrewandtodd.com, 888-888-1172. When I was working with them on a project and trying to get something done, they text you back almost immediately. How many bankers, when you deal with something, are actually able to text you on the weekends, at nights? Personal touch is everything, and they're great people. andrewandtodd.com. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Jordan Schachtel to talk about Stolen Valor and Adam Kinzinger. Jordan, welcome to the program. This is a very interesting story. Walk our audience through it.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for having me. So this started a long time ago, but the easiest way to catch up to speed, basically, is that the New York Times dropped a pretty critical story of what was going on with all these volunteers going to Ukraine and the fact that they raised all this money for these war efforts through PayPal, through Venmo. And by the way, anyone listening, please do not, when someone tries to raise funds through these sketchy mediums without a nonprofit organization, don't give them money. Don't send it to their PayPal address. But anyway, what happened was that this organization called Ripley's Heroes, a pro-Ukraine organization that was supposedly a nonprofit raising funds to buy a variety of goods and services to supposedly support the war effort. And what they found was that this organization is now under federal investigation, but they were also moving money from the nonprofit into the for-profit. I mean, Charlie, you're very familiar with the strict regulations.
Very much. I live by them every day. And we have an audit committee and we have a CFO, and it takes two signatures on checks. And, you know, we go through internal audits to the highest degree. It's no joke, right? I mean, we fill out Form 990s. But anyway, please continue.
Yeah. So there's definitely a process, as you alluded to.
Yes.
And what was happening was that this organization, they were taking some money from the nonprofit, putting it into a for-profit. And oh, by the way, the nonprofit doesn't really have 501c3 status, so it's not really tax exempt. So there's all this weird stuff going on. They're under federal investigation. And I was kind of like browsing through social media, doing some open source research. And I found that our good friend Adam Kinzinger was actually on the board of advisors of this organization that is now under federal investigation. Interestingly, the New York Times did not mention that in their piece, but he was this premier board member who was helping to raise money for this organization that reportedly raised millions of dollars. You know, they were supposed to be buying night vision goggles for Ukrainian troops. They were supposed to be financing some of the war effort. And it seemed that the people behind this organization were not, they couldn't show any evidence that, you know, these night vision goggles were arriving, these Jeeps and all this other stuff. So it seems that they were engaged in a giant fraud scheme. And it seems that this is kind of the person who's been attracted to travel over there. Ukraine is notorious for its corruption. And they kind of just have been, even like these big tech companies like PayPal and Venmo have been setting up these special mechanisms for them to get funding. And that's a whole nother angle of the story that hasn't really been explored, is that these big tech organizations that are targeting conservatives because of what you believe in, they're happy to assist with these Ukraine money laundering operations where there's really no checks and balances on anything. But Kinzinger is seemingly heavily involved. If you go on his Twitter account, he's been promoting the heck out of this organization to steel man the Kinzinger argument. I guess you could say that he is notoriously naive about everything, which is true. You know, this is the man who thought that the ghost of Kiev was a real fighter pilot that was shooting down all of these Russian fighter jets. And he's basically bought into every hoax. He does not see well through the fog of war. So I suppose you can make an argument that he was very naive, but he's involved with what appears to be a criminal organization.
Yeah. So let me ask you, though, did he make any money off of this?
It doesn't appear so. It appears that he has more so a volunteer. He is an official member of the Board of Advisors, but I think they made it pretty clear that he wasn't going to be taking money. But, you know, there's other ways to end up on the receiving end of this stuff. He provided what I think is the most important, his stamp of approval. This is a guy, as you recall, that was on the January 6th committee. He was supposed to be all about oversight, transparency, rule of law. And meanwhile, he's shuttling funds that were virtually untraceable. I think that PayPal would know a lot if they were to come forward about this, into this Eastern European money laundering mechanism.
Yeah, so how much money has gone through this company?
Reportedly millions of dollars in donations. And in the New York Times piece, the reporters asked these executives at this organization called Ripley's Heroes, which is the one that's under investigation, if they could provide receipts for the donations. And it was just all this like off the book stuff. And the reporters found that, you know, some of the money was going to this company, the for-profit company called Iron Horse, while some of it was just sitting in a bank account. It's just a very confusing mess. And there's all these players involved who reportedly volunteered to serve in the Ukrainian military. And meanwhile, there's no paperwork of them having served in the Ukrainian military. So it's just a very bizarre.
So we don't know where the money went then. I mean, somebody probably just made a bunch of money personally, is what you're saying.
It sure seems like that. And again, this is the importance of having, you know, transparency in governance, both on an executive private level, but also when you're dealing with another country. And this seems to be like a micro example of a macro problem of what's going on in Ukraine. You have this, the United States has allocated over $100 billion to this country. We're shipping all these weapons to them. And in my previous reporting, like it's just so, what you find is so absurd. Like the Ukrainian military officials are writing paper receipts and then they're just like giving them to U.S. military officials and being like, okay, see, we got this. It's not going to any weird people. Here's this write-up and we'll sign off on it. But it's just a very unfortunate trend in what's going on with that war. There's no transparency on the private or public side.
No. So what are you seeing more broadly in conservative circles on Ukraine? I mean, we thought this was a dumb idea from the beginning. I think that viewpoint is actually growing. The great Victor Davis Hanson, who I admire and love his writings, he was definitely probably more in the camp of intervention, but prudent intervention. And VDH came out with a powerful piece. I'm going to find it in just a second here, where he's basically saying, what does success look like? It's at victorhanson.com. And he's asking the questions. Yeah, this is great. Questions without answers about Ukraine. And he just goes through it in the way that VDH does and basically just really slices up the DC Uniparty. I mean, it's basically 30 questions asked by VDH. He says, is the Ukrainian war creating the most dangerous anti-American alliances since World War II? That's a thought crime, VDH. You're not allowed to ask that. Stay in line. Just do war all the time. What are you seeing in conservative circles?
There definitely does seem to be movement. I think, Charlie, you and I were some of the early critics of, we were just asking some basic questions like, yes, what the heck is going on here?
You're called Kremlin agents for that.
Yeah. But the label doesn't seem to have much sticking power because there are some very influential people, VDH, you know, one of our great thinkers, but there still are a lot of conservative heavyweights, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, who remain adamantly supportive of this. And, you know, I have to respectfully disagree with their position, which I think is becoming more and more unpopular. I mean, you've seen this with both Trump and DeSantis are very skeptical about increased U.S. involvement, specifically because of the fact that the Europeans are slacking so much. And we're providing so much. We already provide an umbrella defense organization for their entire continent. And now we need to fund this war effort. And by the way, you know, Ukraine's borders are 5,000 miles away from the United States. So it just boggles the mind when someone tells me that we need to fight them over there so they don't come over here, so Putin doesn't march.
Really, we haven't gotten past that. We haven't had the funeral and said the eulogy to that just vapid, stupid talking point.
I wish we had, but it seems that the Washington, D.C. beltway, as you well know, is just inundated with these people that can't get rid of this globalist, whatever you want to call it, neoliberal, neoconservative, yes, these ideas about projecting in insane amounts of imperial power overseas. And of course, it comes back to harm American citizens. No American benefits from throwing hundreds of billions of dollars into this war. In fact, it's just hurting everyone with the skyrocketing inflation and such.
So VDH writes, I mean, it's just one question after the other. It's just, and he would not have written this article a year ago. I mean, I listened to a lot of VDH a year ago. He was, you know, gotta deter, hold the Western order. Now VDH is asking a question of, why were we mostly silent when an appeasing Joe Biden begged Vladimir Putin to spare at least some U.S. targets on his otherwise extensive anti-American cyber war hit list? Why are we not so eager for confrontation when Putin earlier acquired Eastern Ukraine borderlands and Crimea in 14 in the first place under Obama? Why all of a sudden now? Or why so subdued when the United States in 1516 refused to sell Ukraine offensive weapons? Why does the United States discount the serial and ascending nuclear threats from Russia, but remain careful not to antagonize China? VDH continues by saying, why is the administration so quiet about a likely leak of an engineered deadly COVID-19 virus from a Chinese virology lab that killed 1 million Americans? These are Ukraine war-related questions that never seem to be answered, but should be as the carnage rises and the nuclear threshold falls. 45 seconds, your thoughts, Jordan.
For sure. U.S. foreign policy makers are playing a very dangerous game right now, and I completely agree with all of VDH's sentiments. And to add to that, we have to remember that the Nord Stream pipeline bombing, all of the evidence seems to point in the direction that it was authorized by either our Biden administration or our unaccountable deep state. And when we're talking about two powers with thousands and thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons, it is best for everyone involved to try to calm everything down, to try to bring people to the negotiating table. And I think to their credit, the two front runners in the presidential race, Trump and DeSantis, really understand that, as opposed to, you know, you have these Nikki Haley's, you have these Mike Pompeo's that want to see them
invade the world and invite the world. That's right. So Jordan, check out his Substack, Jordan Schachtel, the dossier. That's dossier.substack.com. Jordan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Are you feeling burned out and a little tired? Look, I want to tell you about something that I've become a big believer in. And if you do not know about it, you got to research it. You could fact check me. It's NAD. NAD is a precursor for your body to be able to create ATP, which is basically the life force of everything that you do. And look, there's a lot of people out there that are promising energy and doing all this, but go do some research on NAD and go see actually how incredibly important it is for high performance to be able to go actually get to the next level. And so what does NAD stand for? Well, try to take a note here. It is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. I did that pretty well, don't you think? NAD. It's a coenzyme that is central to metabolism. Again, don't take my word for it. Go watch a YouTube video or two or three or four and go fact check me on it. I've been taking NAD for quite some time. And people say, Charlie, how do you travel 2,700 days in a decade? How do you do the 300 days a year? How do you do that? Look, it's not only because of this. I eat well and do other things as well. But if you look at NADH, especially when it combines with CoQ10 and marine collagen, it boosts your body's cellular function. I would never tell you guys to go do something I myself did not do. And Strong Cell has been able to put together a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen. When you combine them together, you get mental clarity. And that's a must for me. It's not just that. It's for vitality. It helps your immune system. It's all good stuff. So go to strongcell.com/Charlie today and see for yourself. It's not a stimulant. It doesn't contain any caffeine. I'm talking about overall health from the cellular level. NADH has been called the anti-aging enzyme that helps with so many issues like brain fog, short-term memory loss, blood pressure, heart disease, blood sugar retention, and so much more. And look, it's not a magic pill. It's like, oh, I'm going to start taking this and I'm going to be super smart. No, it's an additive, an amplifier on people that want to get better. But I could tell you it makes a big difference. I've personally seen undeniable benefits from taking Strong Cell and engaging with NAD every day. So I had to partner with them. I vetted them. I checked out their ingredient profile. And do yourself a favor and give Strong Cell a try. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie today and use promo code Charlie. It's just a quick shot every morning. And you get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD is your body's ability to create ATP. Don't believe me? Go to WebMD, go to Science Direct, go to Nature Journal, NIH, YouTube. It's all natural. It's naturally occurring, and you're giving your body more of what it already needs. Use promo code Charlie. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. Don't forget your 20% discount by using promo code Charlie at checkout. Strongcell.com/Charlie. I'm going to get to some more tape here. Boy, there's a lot happening in Israel. There's a lot happening all over the world. Let's go to cut 8. AOC has some strong thoughts for cisgender and often straight men who are the ones that are after your kids. So AOC is saying that straight men and cisgender people are the groomers. Now, I lose track of what cisgender is. I think cisgender is normal, right? Cisgender is what we are. I can't keep track of all this stuff. Okay, play cut 8.
Many of these disgusting and insinuating attacks on trans and LGBT people are actually projections of what predatory cisgender and often straight men do when left alone in the presence of women, or sometimes horribly, children. So instead of getting you to challenge the patriarchy, they're trying to get you to challenge the very gender expressiveness that challenges patriarchy. Don't get it twisted, because a lot of people attacking drag are projecting.
I think the real victim here is her fiancé. I mean, come on. You're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life? I could say more, but I won't. She basically just called her fiancé a groomer. As I was saying that, could you imagine him just kind of sitting there in the chair, kind of like, hey, can you pay attention to me?
Just stop it. I need to do a video. Hey, no, no, my hair's not right. Hey, no, I'm sorry.
Just call, like, calls her fiance a groomer. It's those cisgender people. They're terrible. Go make me a sandwich. She says to her fiance. Okay. That's not going to end well, my friend. What's that guy's name? Someone should just really give him some tough love conversation. Like, dude, you got to get on the escape pod when you can. You just got to pull the escape hatch. Riley Roberts. Yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, I could say more, but I would choose not to. Let's email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Stacey Plaskett continued on MSNBC. She's a colleague of AOC, talking about people who are trying to desensitize the American people to the rule of law. Play cut 12.
That these are individuals who are trying to desensitize the American people to the rule of law. Two rules. That they are outside of the realm of rules. Basically, the Republicans are now trying to push for the defunding and the dismantling of our rule of law at the federal level.
So Stacey Plaskett goes on MSNBC and talking about the dismantling of the rule of law on the federal level. So interesting. They're the ones that project that, when in reality, what they really want is a national police force. It's never about defunding the police, it's about the nationalization of our police. In other news, Madonna is in Tennessee banning child sex change operations by donating concert proceeds to transgender groups. Yeah, she looks totally stable. Look, just put that picture that we have there in the chat. Yeah, she's really, really the stable genius, Madonna. She hasn't been relevant in a long time. Madonna accused of many other things. I'm not going to even get into that story. But again, let's just play this piece of tape here. Why is this all happening? Why are Republican states passing bills to prevent the mutilation of children? Remember Boston Children's Hospital saying patients young as 2 or 3 have come into their hospital? People should be arrested for this. Play cut 23.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the GEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9.
These clinics should be shut down completely, totally, and categorically. And finally, Republicans are standing up. Madonna, you want to get Madonna fired up? She wants to blow up the White House, or she wants to defend a 9-year-old to be able to chemically castrate themselves? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.